We're so blessed that you joined us at Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. We're back in the studio with Carrie, Miss Tara, and myself, Sandy. We've been discussing Matthew 20, 1 through 20. Excuse me, Matthew 28, 1 through 20 on the resurrection. And if you've been following along, we've just pretty much discussed the chapter. Now we're going to end this with the things that we receive
from the
because
resurrection.
Of the resurrection. I've got notes here and I can't read them.
It's too small.
Gift of the resurrection.
Yeah, this morning as I was studying this and I was thinking through it, it's like, wow, you know, we don't have faith unless we have the resurrection. We don't have new life if we don't have the resurrection. We don't have a changed life if we don't have the resurrection. We don't have eternal life if we don't have the resurrection. And if the resurrection didn't happen, then we have nothing. Yet, historically, there are more eyewitness accounts of what occurred that are written from that time period. And as far as like literature written in that time period, they have more literature that affirms from historical record mm-hmm. of what occurred and where people were present and they saw. Not only did they see the empty tomb, but they actually saw his resurrected body. They touched him and they were able to see the scars. He passed through walls. He had conversations. He cooked food and ate food and drank with them. And so they were able to actually experience his presence in what was the resurrected body. And if you remember, a resurrected body is a body that is your body that is in its glorified state, meaning that it is prepped and prepared for eternal life. It is not the same as what our body is that will physically die on this earth. And it's changed. And so I just, it's incredibly beautiful. And to pause and just think through the gift of what he's given us. And so what we'll do is we're going to read the passage. Carrie's going to read it through the Amplified again. And then we're going to read some verses that support what we get from the resurrection. Okay, Carrie.
Okay. Now, after the Sabbath, near dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went out to look at the tomb, and a great earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone from the opening of the tomb and sat on it. The angel's appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards shook, paralyzed with fear at the sight of him, and became like dead men, pale and immobile. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said he would. Come, see the place where he was lying. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee as he promised. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." So the women left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell the good news to the disciples. And as they went, suddenly Jesus met them, saying, "Rejoice." And they went to him and took hold of his feet in homage and worshipped him as the Messiah. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me, just as I promised." While they were on their way, some of the Roman guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. And when the chief priests had gathered with the elders and had consulted together to develop a plan of deception, they gave a sufficient sum of money as a bribe to the soldiers and said, "You say this, 'His disciples came at night and stole him while we were sleeping. And if the governor Pilate hears about it, we will calm him down and keep you out of trouble.' So they took the money they were paid for lying and did as they were instructed. And this fabricated story was widely spread among the Jews and is to this present day. Now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted that it was really he. Jesus came up and said to them, 'All authority, all power of absolute rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations. Help the people to learn of me, believe in me, and obey my words, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, remaining with you perpetually, regardless of circumstance, and on every occasion, even to the end of the age.
Mm-hmm. May God honor the reading of his word. So good. Okay, so what we're going to do is, within the Bible Knowledge Commentary, they have a really great breakdown of what happened with each appearance, like different ones, that just to give an idea. And so we're going to look at some of those and the time that he appeared. And so we're going to see some of his appearances that he did. So in Matthew, we have the Matthew 28. All right, the women followed Jesus and discovered him. And then we have the Mary telling them, Peter and John. And then we have the other women remaining. I'm just going through because I'm going to get to the point. Peter and John visit the tomb in Luke 24:12. And Mary Magdalene returns to the tomb, and Jesus appeared to her alone in the garden. That's his first appearance, okay? His second appearance is to the women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, at Salome, and Joanna, according to the different ones. And that's in Matthew 28:8-10. And then his third appearance, if we could read 1 Corinthians 15:5, where it references that Jesus appeared to Peter. And so, Sandy, would you get that one? And this is going to be his, it's going to be referencing the third appearance. And I'm wanting us to see the different types, times that people have seen, so that we can see that this is a real circumstance. It has eyewitness accounts of people that did.
15:5?
Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians.
He was seen by Peter and then by the 12 apostles. After that, he was seen by more than 500 of his followers at one time, most of whom were still alive, though some have died by now. Then he was seen by James and later by all the apostles. Last of all, I saw him too, long after the others, as though I had been born at the wrong time.
Okay, Carrie, I want you to do his fourth appearance. That's Mark 16:12-13. And so this is going to be the fourth time he shows himself. And all of the others, the one up to Peter, happened on Sunday morning. The one that Carrie's about to read is on Sunday afternoon.
And after that, he appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking along on their way to the country. They went away and reported it to the others, but they did not believe them either. Afterward, he appeared to the 11 themselves as they were reclining at the table, and he reproached them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they had not believed those who had seen him after he had risen.
Okay. Then those two guys run into the city, and they tell the others what they saw. Now, that night, Sunday evening, Jesus appears to the 12 apostles, and in this particular time, Thomas isn't present. Okay, this one happens in Luke 24, Sandy, if you'll go to Luke 24:36-43. And this one's going to be his fifth appearance. And so that we can see how he appears to them again.
The okay, 10. 24.
36-43.
Okay, 36.
Mm-hmm.
And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. He said, "Peace be with you." But the whole group was terribly frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. "Why are you frightened?" he asked. "Why do you doubt who I am? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see that it is really me. Touch me and make sure that I am not a ghost, because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do." As he spoke, he held out his hands for them to see, and he showed them his feet. You want me to go on?
Nope, that's good. Okay, so do you see how he challenges them and says, "Why do you doubt?" And he allows them to touch and see his body. He does not then, there's not a recorded appearance that we have documented until the following Sunday. And that's going to go John 20:26-28. And this one's going to be Jesus' sixth appearance to the disciples. John 20:26-28. You got it?
Yep. 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God."
So good. So he appeared so that disbelief mm-hmm. could happen. Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the gifts we get, is that if when we are willing to have believe in the resurrection, that takes care of our disbelief. The seventh was the sixth one. Mm-hmm. I want the seventh appearance. Sandy, would you do John 21? And I just, a little bit, it has 14 verses, but I just want you to show, he appears before the seven disciples. Well, how are we on time? You go ahead. You can read it. 21, 1 through 14. This is his seventh appearance.
Later, Jesus appeared again to the disciples beside the Sea of Galilee. This is how it happened. Several of the disciples were there: Simon Peter, Thomas, nicknamed the Twin, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples. Simon Peter said, "I'm going fishing." "We'll come too," they all said. So they went out in the boat, but they caught nothing all night. At dawn, the disciples saw Jesus standing on the beach, but they couldn't see who he was. He called out, "Friends, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then he said, "Throw out your net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll get plenty of fish." So they did, and they couldn't draw in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciples, whom Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he had stripped for work, jumped into the water, and swam ashore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only out about 300 feet. When they got there, they saw that a charcoal fire was burning and fish were frying over it, and there was bread. "Bring some of the fish you have just caught," Jesus said. So Simon Peter went aboard and dragged them to the net to the shore. There were 153 large fish, and yet the net hadn't torn. "Now come and have some breakfast," Jesus said, and no one dared ask him if he really was the Lord, because they were sure of it. Then Jesus served them the bread and the fish. This was the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples since he had been raised from the dead.
Okay, so it's his seventh appearance. And what you see is a progression, is it starts with individuals. We have one in his third appearance where there's like 500 followers that are there to see it. And then as it's progressing, he's going to be bringing it to where he's narrowing it down to the disciples again. But this one, on the eighth one, we're going to see that he is with the crowds again. It's the disciples plus the appearance of 500. And let's just do different. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:6 to see what this one. Sorry, I totally messed you up, Carrie, didn't I? go to 1 Corinthians 15:6, and let's have its reference to the eighth appearance.
Then he appeared to more than 500 brothers at one time, most of whom are still alive, though some have fallen asleep.
Okay, we did that earlier.
Okay, then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared also to me.
Okay. Now, the ninth appearance, he appears to James. And then finally, the tenth appearance is at Jerusalem. Jesus appears to all his disciples. And that's his tenth appearance. And then the next one is what we'll study next time, will be the ascension.
Okay.
And so it's really good, Bible knowledge commentary, so that you can actually follow the journey, because it tells you how many days in, because it's like what, like all within a week, and then over 32 days, what else happens, so that you can see those. Because I wanted you to get those because you need to know eyewitness accounts.
Mm-hmm.
Eyewitness accounts. And you're talking 500 people twice documented on top of the disciples. Now, there could have been other people witnessing when he was with the 12, but the 12 is what they recorded. Okay? Is that cool?
Mm-hmm.
It's like so amazing. So the other thing that I wanted us to look at is Sandy, you go to Romans 14:9, and I'm going to have Carrie, if you would pull up Romans 8:11. I'm going to give them different verses so that we can see things that we actually have because of the fact that Jesus died and resurrected. And some of them are things that we have because Christ, that's who Christ is and what he has.
Would you tell me? Romans what?
14:9. Carrie, you can go ahead and do
Romans.
Yours.
Romans 8:11. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you.
Okay. We have the spirit. It is a gift we get. Mm-hmm. The Spirit of God is ours because of the resurrection. Sandy's is Romans 14:9.
Christ died and rose again for this very purpose, so that he might be Lord of those who are alive and of those who have died.
Okay, so he is our Lord, our Master. Okay, would you do 1 Corinthians 6:14, Carrie? This is like Bible drill.
Mm-hmm. It is like Bible drill.
Yeah. And Sandy, I want you to look up the 1 Corinthians 15:17.
Okay.
And these are going to show. Okay, go ahead.
1 Corinthians 6:14. And God raised the Lord and will also raise us up by his power.
Mm-hmm. So what do we have?
Power.
So we've done authority. We have him as Lord. We have spirit. We have power. All right. And Sandy, yours is 1 Corinthians 15:17.
And if Christ had not been raised, then your faith is useless and you are still under condemnation of your sin.
Okay, so Sandy, go and scoot back and read 15:15. 1 Corinthians.
Scoot back?
Two verses.
Yeah, I scoop too far. And we apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave, but that can't be true if there's no resurrection of the dead.
Okay, do you understand that saying, because of the resurrection, we have truth?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have truth. Then, Carrie, I want you to do Romans 6:11. Wait, do I have that one twice? Hold on. I think that is twice. We're dead to say. Oh, go ahead. Yes, I want to do that one. It's just very similar. Okay.
So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus.
Okay, dead to sin and alive. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
Dead to sin and that we're alive. And then... Matthew 27:62-64.
Matthew 27?
Uh-huh. And you do John 29. 20.
Okay, Matthew 27, what was the verse?
62-64.
Okay. The next day, that is the day after the day of preparation for the Sabbath, the chief priests and the Pharisees assembled before Pilate and said, "Sir, we have remembered that when he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will rise from the dead.' Therefore, give orders to have the tomb made secure and safeguarded until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal him away and tell the people he has risen from the dead. In the last deception, the reporting of his resurrection will be worse than the first, the reporting that he is the Messiah."
Okay, that's the common knowledge that was seen. And we're done. We're out of time. So thank you for listening to Cultivating Hearts.